Hi everyone, we're continuing our journey through Acts today, focusing on Acts 10. Hope you've had time to read it through. This will be a familiar passage to many of us, I'm sure. This is where we, or the Gentiles as we were known back then, came to be included in the family of God. God's family was being redefined to include followers from every nation. The word Gentile originally meant peoples or nations, but to those who were Jewish, it was used for those who were considered to be non-Jewish. So to begin with, I want to just jump back into Luke. Luke 10. Jesus was asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus replied, "Well, what is written in the law? And how do you read it?" The man replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus said that he had answered correctly, and that anyone who did this would live. When I read today's passage and I hear about Cornelius, as it says in verse 2, he was devout. He and all his household revered God. He gave alms generously to the people, constantly prayed to God. And in verse 22, it says he was righteous and a God-fearing man. He seems to fit the bill, right? He loves God. He loves his neighbor. Surely he would be considered to be a part of the family of God. But Cornelius, of course, was a Roman centurion, not Jewish, therefore, and so considered to be a Gentile and outside of the family of God. And we find this out in verse 28. Peter says it was forbidden for him as a Jew to mix with or to visit a Gentile. So how did it come to this, that these laws to not mix with or visit a Gentile came to be? That they were widely accepted among the Jewish community at the time. Jumping back even further now, as we read it in the Old Testament, my paraphrase, God calls Abraham and he makes him a promise. "I will bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed." And subsequently, God caused the nation of Israel to be his own for the purpose of being his chosen vessel through whom all of the world will be blessed. They are blessed to be a blessing. So there's a big hint here as to what God has in mind. And God wants a worldwide family, and the nation of Israel is God's means of achieving that. They are blessed to be a blessing. And likewise, we also are blessed to be a blessing. And that's the reason that we're chosen. But as God called out the nation of Israel to be his own, there were laws that forbade intermarrying with other nations, so that God's people would not fall into idolatry. In other words, for God's plans to go forward, God's people needed to keep God at the center, not allowing other gods to take center stage. This is the story of God's people in the Old Testament. They fall into idolatry, they repent, and they come back to God, and so on and so on. And as time goes on, as they go through many different wars, they go through exile, and they come under occupation. You know, Jewish attitudes towards Gentiles are somewhat hardened. And whilst under Greek rule, there arose a group called the Pharisees, who wanted to preserve the special calling of the Jewish people and protect against the influences of outsiders. And so they did this by writing many more laws on top of the laws that were given under Moses. many of them to do with who you could mix with, or as it is sometimes known, table fellowship. In those times, to share a table or a meal with someone was to make a big statement about yourself and about your guest. It's like saying, I consider this person to be his family. Of the 341 laws traced back to the Pharisees, 229 are related to table fellowship. It's no wonder that Jesus was given such a hard time after eating with tax collectors and sinners. These laws, written additionally to the law of Moses, were further interpretations of the original law. As I mentioned earlier in the reading from Luke, Jesus asked the inquirer, what is written in the law? How do you read it? And I believe this is how we should approach the Bible. Firstly, what does it say? Secondly, what do we think it means? You know, we must also accept that people interpret the Bible differently from one another. Jesus assumed this. That's what's been good about our Zoom services or apologetics. We get to hear different people's interpretations of what's written in the Bible. And hopefully after hearing other views, we have a much more balanced and a broader perspective on what the Bible has to say to us today. So actually, having interpretations of the Bible is something that we do all the time, and it's a good thing. The Pharisees teach us, I think, how our own interpretations of the Bible can put a limit on our hospitality and our compassion, and actually get in the way of what God wants to do. I love it how Peter has to see the vision three times before it begins to start sinking in. And it takes time for us to take on board new things, so it seems. God sometimes wants to push us where we don't really want to go, beyond the boundaries of what we're comfortable with and far exceeding the limits our church culture has set for itself. I was thinking the other day, I was just imagining, what if God wanted to do something new in the 21st century? You know, maybe he thought, we're in a bit of a mess here, you know, we need to do something about it. But when he looked at his church, he realized that after 2,000 years of church, the church had a lot of baggage, a lot of water had passed under the bridge. Many things had been added on over the years, many different interpretations of the original message. You know, they'd read Romans one too many times, put two and two together and got five. And though he loved the church, he realized that the baggage that they had would actually get in the way of carrying his purposes forward into the 21st century. The new wine of what God wanted to do couldn't be carried by the old wineskin. For all the good that God has done through his church in the past and in the present day, we have to accept that when God does something new, sometimes we're simply not ready for it. Sometimes, you know, we can get in the way of what God wants to do through us. Sometimes what God has in mind really is bigger than what we could ask for or even imagine. In Acts 10, we see God doing something new that challenged the culture and the norms of the day. A church containing Jew and Gentile, a new vessel to take God's purposes forward and the gospel message to all of the nations. And this was always what God had in mind. You know, are we open to being challenged again? Can we be a vessel or a container for what God wants to do today and in these times that we're living in? You know, there are no limits to God's love. There are no limits to God's love. So can we reflect that love into our town and into the world? The Message version of Matthew 5:48 reads like this. You must set no bounds to your love, just as your heavenly Father sets none to his. Here are my questions. Are there times in church history when its understanding of the Bible has caused us to get things wrong? Secondly, are there traditions we have built up that hinder or get in the way of what God wants to do? And thirdly, what has God put on our hearts to show, who has God put on our hearts to show hospitality to, or to include, that we have not considered before? Okay, thanks everyone. God bless.